If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
At the top of the show, I asked you about your preferences of cars. I'm really excited for our next guest. I spoke about this morning on Seize the World. I spoke about it a little earlier on The Drive with the team regarding this poor data that we've been seeing out of vehicle sales. Of course, a coincident indicator that consumption is quite slow, affordability is quite low, and potentially indebtedness is quite high. It's introduced quite an interesting dynamic within the South African vehicle space, insofar as while vehicle sales, particularly new vehicle sales, stay depressed, in particular, more affordable, higher value for money, Asian vehicles are the ones coming through at a very rapid growth. And so who better to speak to us about this than Brandon Cohen? Brandon is the chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association. If you're following us on Facebook, we have sent out a query to you about which car would you never buy, no matter how affordable it may be, and why. Do feel free to send me a voice note on 063-688-0959 or continue to give your comments right there on Facebook. Brandon Cohen, welcome to Kaya Biz. How are you this evening?
Yeah, I hope the speaker's working now.
It is. There was a problem on our side. Apologies. Brandon, so talk to us a little bit about the rise of Chinese car brands in particular, but Asian ones in general, and what's driving it?
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese car brands, I think, are the latest iteration of that Asian car brand, bringing to the country, gaining popularity. We saw that several years back with Hyundai and Kia and the South Korean brands coming in. And you know, they were met with skepticism in the beginning. There were newspaper articles, never buy that vehicle, and things like that. But look where Hyundai and Kia stands now. And I think the Chinese are the next iteration of that. I think, you know, they are in our market, but they came in at the right time. They came in when there were supply chain difficulties with the semiconductor crisis, all those kind of things. Right. No one had new car stock. The Chinese had stock. They brought in these vehicles, a brand new version, not the 15-year-old Cherries, but the brand new kind of Cherries. And they came in at a great price. And I think, you know, if we even go further back, I suppose this is what happened with the Japanese cars when they first entered the European markets, South African markets, the US markets.
Absolutely.
And then the Chinese are just the latest to enter in that realm.
What I really am quite interested in is just looking at some of the data you shared, the pace of growth. Okay, Suzuki, as you say, on the Japanese side, had a massive rise over the past decade of 640%. And then when we're looking at the Chinese car makers, since 2020, there's been an over 300% increase, to your point, in line with cost effectiveness. And I guess the hesitance to buy into an Asian vehicle, or at least a Chinese vehicle, that horrible stereotype that is about 20, 25 years old, that things that come from China are inappropriately made or cheaply made or knockoffs, seems to have fallen away.
Absolutely. And we can see it in the data. You know, 24 months ago or 30 months ago, Chinese brands were pretty much non-existent. If we look at the August new car sales figures, at least on all the brands reporting, Chinese equate to about 11% of new car sales. And it is that. It is this new world of the Chinese brand. I think they spent many years partnering with a lot of the manufacturers around the world who wanted to get into the Chinese market. And yeah, the new cars, they are good. They are reliable. I know from just where I work, we don't see complaints about breakdowns and things like that. So reliable, good, well-priced, exactly what the Japanese and the Koreans did.
Indeed. And the other thing that's very important to car owners, I would imagine, is availability of parts, you know, the after-sales experience. You know, one of the things that I certainly remember with friends who owned Alfa Romeos was the frustration with not having a domestic, either the OEM or at least some sort of a partner in South Africa. To what extent do we see some localization of the value chain of these Asian, the Chinese brands and the Indian brands here in South Africa?
I think that's the main thing that you bring up, where the last remaining risk is. It's all good and well to bring in great vehicles, set up dealerships, sell good cars at a good price. But what is the backup behind that? What is the parts availability? Do they have local parts distribution centers and things like that? And I think with the number of Chinese brands launching, they will be hit with what every other new brand that launched into the market was. And it's exactly that. Are parts going to be available? Are crash parts going to be available? Is panel going to be available? Unfortunately, we know people smash into each other. They need their cars fixed. And, you know, I think some of the established brands that have been around quite a while, such as Chery and Haval, they seem to have it right. They have the local parts availability. They have the crash parts. They have the panel. But time will tell whether all these new brands, the six new brands launching in the next few weeks or months, the 21 brands we've read that will launch this year, will they be able to also have that infrastructure to get people back on the road?
Is this impacting competitiveness for the end user across the board? Your data also indicates that the likes of Audi, Mercedes, BMW have more than halved in the last decade in terms of volume sales. I imagine a Toyota and Volkswagen remain mainstays, but you know, is this helping us overall, or is there very little price sensitivity coming from the European manufacturers?
That's a great question. I think, you know, if you speak to some of the guys who've been here a while, the traditional brands, they're probably not too happy about the new Chinese cars coming in, because the new car market is only so big, whether it's a 500,000 vehicle market or maybe one day a 600,000. Every new brand competes in that same field. However, I think, you know, competition is good, and it does get everyone thinking. For the consumer, it's wonderful because you now have just so many options at pretty much every single price point, luxury point, option point, technology point. And what I do think it does with the traditional brands, the OEMs, is that it forces them to relook at their models, which is also good for consumers. And we're seeing that currently with the new VW Polo that's just launched. The pricing is spectacular. In the next week, Hyundai will launch their new baby SUV called the Exter. Also, phenomenal pricing just been released. So I do think it has a very positive effect, not just on the consumer, but even on those OEM brands and other brands.
That augurs well for all of us. We're all looking forward to some interest rate relief in the coming, let's say, half a year. I mean, it's starting with this coming 19th of September Monetary Policy Committee meeting, which should augur well for the overall new sales, or at least vehicle sales in general, even if it's in the secondary market, and combined with this competitiveness on price. I imagine you're feeling quite optimistic.
We are. We're absolutely feeling optimistic. I don't know if it's a mix of optimism or hope, but absolutely. If the Reserve Bank does move and does even 25 basis points, we'll see an effect, a positive effect, probably 3, 6, 9 months time. These things do lag quite a while, but anything to reduce that burden on the consumer right now will just hopefully, you know, pop the cork on that champagne bottle and get people back into the market.
We'll take it. Thank you so much. Brendan Cohen is the chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association, giving us a little bit of insight. And please continue giving us your answers on our Facebook page for Kaya on Air regarding what vehicle you absolutely would never buy. And maybe tell us, are you up for an Omoda, a Jeku, a Haval? I have to say, aesthetically, I prefer them to some of the European shapes, particularly on the SUV side. And one of the things that prompted this interview for me was coming to Joburg for this particular job, this stand-in role, and observing so many of them on the road as compared to what I see in the Western Cape.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on Kaya 95.